The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Okay, welcome back once again to the Be a Planner Show, the cyber version, with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my special cyber expert, Mr. AI Nguyen. How are you today, Mr. Nguyen?
I'm doing great, but the word expert is kind of...
dubious, a little bit dubious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're all expert in something, usually, Mr. Nguyen.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event... Just before we get started, I want to remind everyone that's listening, as we normally do, that this information we'll be delivering is for your education only. It's not designed to make you a cyber expert, and we would strongly recommend before you start tinkering with your own computer equipment or routers or cable modems, et cetera, that you consult with an expert that can make sure it gets done correctly. And if you have questions, you're welcome to give us a call. The number is 713-782-1900, and we will get that message to Mr. Nguyen. Or you can also text to that number. Again, 713-782-1900. Well, when you know, we were talking earlier in the week, we both kind of were reminded of the 60-minute episode that was not quite a year ago. I believe it was about 11 months ago.
Yeah.
And actually, it popped up on YouTube, and I had watched it when it came out real time because it had a story that really intrigued me about the San Francisco area power grid or transformer, I guess, that got shot out. And I had, in fact, my business partner was working there at PG&E at the time. PG&E, I'm not sure if it was, I don't know how power grids or if they're owned or if they're operated by. I mean, somehow PG&E was responsible for that particular station or substation. I didn't really pay attention to the technical terms. I just know that there was a transformer involved, and it involved multiple shots that took that thing down. And the point, I don't know, it was never determined exactly who did it, but it sure highlighted a significant risk that we have in our electricity power dependent economy. But anyway, I'm jumping a little bit ahead. I'm gonna
that's all right.
Mr. Nguyen,
I can tell you that when you talk about power, I experienced 2 weeks ago without power. It's not
fair. Well, that's true. You yeah. did up close yeah. and personal.
It's very personal, and
it wasn't and it wasn't widespread, was it?
Just mine alone, and it happened to
just
be
your home.
The fiber company dig in the wrong wire. You know, things
yeah.
like that. It take weeks to get.
Yeah, and you don't know. Live out in the country. You're right
no,
there on
no.
Westheimer.
So it turned out that they have
crazy.
They have a lot of sharp that day center point. They're overwhelmed. So they.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, they overwhelmed. Just not just my house, but a lot of power went out that we don't talk about. But I tell you that the critical impact was so. I want to talk about today after watching that 60-minute, but also about cyber threats and national security. You know, usually when you talk about ransomware, so you're talking about they just want your money, right? Shut you down. But there's one case, it happened in Saudi Arabia. The actual virus actually designed purposely to kill people. So what I mean by that is that they try to attack a chemical warfare, I mean a chemical plant that is going to disrupt it or blow up. And what happened when the chemical blow up? People dies, right? I'm talking about toxic chemical. That's the first time ever that folks, now this is, they say, is a state sponsor and mostly a Russian cyber attack. But what really scares me is that, do you know that we got about 50 power grid in the United States, and it only takes 20 grids to go down that affect the entire United States. Now imagine that we can even survive the hurricane in Louisiana for 5 days. FEMA does not even respond, and look what the chaos. Now imagine the whole country without power grid go down.
That's crazy. Okay. I don't want to imagine.
Now,
or I want to make sure I'm overseas when that happens.
Now, well, here's the thing, though. Do you know that the Russian, according to 60 Minutes and according to the Bureau, according to, this is not me, I'm just repeating what I heard.
Public information.
Right. It's public information that they, the Russian, have the capability to shut us down anytime. Okay? And they don't know why Putin did not do that. Maybe we have something leveraged against them. Oh, he waited for the last minute.
Oh, I can only, I can only imagine. We got multiple.
We are so vulnerable. And I'm telling you, yeah. the impact ransomware attack of MGM Resort attack, and then Caesar Palace. And you talk about all of this is social engineering and the method they use. You know, back then you have the Western hackers and you have the Russian hacker. They don't work together. But for the first time, according to this story, they work together. They actually work together. And they're using the people that speak the language and the method they use. When I said social engineering, I'm talking about the tactic that they use to convince you to do what they want. For example, they're using voices to capture the person that work in an IT department. At the same time, they look into his LinkedIn profile and also to match all his history. So when he call in, when they call in, they're using those history, they're using his voice to convince the IT on the other end, you know, to reset the password. That's what happened to MGM. And it happened to Colonial Pipeline as well. But the scary thing about Colonial, do you know the OT, when I say pipeline, I'm talking about operational technology. This is separate from the enterprise security, separate from the network, two completely network, okay?
Okay.
Enterprise network, we focus on security, right? We focus on security. In cybersecurity, we focus on security is primary. But on the operation technology, we're talking about pipeline, we're talking about midstream. Their primary safety. Safety comes first before security. You see the two difference, right? And now the network is so... back then, when they turn off your power, if you don't pay the money, they turn off your power, they actually send somebody to go to your house and turn off the switch, right? Today, they can do it from the office because it's so... We'll grow so rapidly that we can no longer use human to do that. So we have to integrate the enterprise to the operation technology network. That means we integrate the two networks together, but that also increase, also introduce the vulnerability. Does that make sense?
It does.
So that's what scares me. Anything with an IP address can be hacked. And all this, like you just mentioned before, what happened in California, somebody decide to test, I think it's a professional hit, and they're just testing out the capability that they shut out those transformers. They fired 21 shot, and 20 and 17 shot hit direct the same hole to the transformer, shut down.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think it affect the San Francisco for like a few hours because, and they even time, they also timing that the responder of the police to respond. So they were left before the responder get there. So they knew what happened. This is professional. And until today, nobody know who it is. Nobody. So if you're looking at like yesterday, no, the last week, Las Vegas got hit with a storm, right? And it shut down our grid. It shut down their power. we're so dependent on this power grid. And I'm telling you, this is really scary. You know?
No, it is. And when you look at the overall power grid, it's operated by 3,000 different companies. We're talking about our national power grid has an estimated 55,000 substations.
Yep.
Hodgepodge of public and private ownership with technology that is half a century old in places. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster. And I don't know how
complexity
it's secure. How do you secure those metrics?
So what happened to the Colonial Pipeline is an eye-opening. So I'm about to tell you what happened, that they, how they make a decision. So when
By the way, Wynn, before you do that, just to finish off the math metrics, and I think you said this earlier, you alluded to it. There was a study that FERC, what is that, the Federal Electrical something something, something commission maybe, did that revealed that targeting fewer. Now, how many substations did we say? 55,000 is what.
55,000.
Right. The study that the FERC did revealed that targeting fewer than 20 of the right ones, 20 specific substations across the entire U.S. could potentially knock out the entire grid coast to coast, underscoring its fragility. Amazing. That's amazing.
We got about 40 to 50 major power grid, but it only required 20 to shut down the United States from East Coast to West Coast. That's what it's.
Yeah. Okay. And I suspect the one in Silicon Valley or San Francisco, whatever it was, had to be one of those 20, wouldn't you think, with all the...
Oh, definitely. You have East and West, and you have even...
Well, you get Silicon Valley.
In Texas, too. Well, Texas, we have our own grid, right?
Yeah.
Texas, we have our own grid. So I'm about to say that during the Colonial Pipeline hacking, so what happened is during the COVID that people have to work from home, right? So the user that usually work on site, so now they force him to work from home because of COVID. That means they have to create account for him to remote in, which is not an ideal, right? But he did it. But they're using the same credential that used on the enterprise network. It's the same credential to access the OT network. You see where I'm getting at? So the hacker was able to hack the enterprise network on Colonial Pipeline. But before they get into the OT, the decision makers of the Colonial Pipeline decide to shut everything down. You know why they do that? Because they have no visibility, or they don't know what the impact is going to be if the hacker. They don't know.
Yeah, well, taking it offline solves
safer.
And guess what? They have just as much visibility after they take it offline as they did before.
They decide to shut it down because they have no visibility on their end. So the perception is, let's shut it down since we don't know. But the impact was huge, right? The impact was huge. And it was eye-opening because not just them. So now keep in mind, this is not something new that we know about the risk. So 20 years ago, the Federal Commission already make sure that the company that size, you got to have the network segmentations, right? When I say network segmentation, like you separate the zone from different network, and you
just
separate
like
the zone.
Like on a physical pipeline, right?
Exactly. You separate the user.
Control valves.
Control, like you have 0-1, level 1, level 2, level 3. You segment them, for example, that you make sure that you have rules set that allow only, if you don't have access, you cannot access. So they are doing that, right? They are doing it. Just imagine this. But over time, you hire more people. You have people going that change the firewall. People to maintain it no longer there. So I give you an example. If you live in a house and you have HOA, for example, you have a person to go drive every month around your neighborhood, make sure your fence are up to date, your fence are good standing, and your roof. But they never look on the back end of your fence. Over time, it's deteriorating. think about the same thing with the pipeline. They don't know some of the stuff over time. They not keep up to date. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
what even worse is that they don't know. They don't know. So they decide to shut it down. So after that, I think the U.S. government forced them, like any pipeline that they that the government declare is a national interest, you have to have a plan that you send to U.S. government. They call it a CIP, Cyber Implementation Plan, every year. You have to talk to the government to approve it. And then you have to show them a CAP, the Cyber Assessment Protocol. You have to show them that you're actually testing it, your vulnerability.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
Now, that just started last year. So do you, the fear is according
does that surprise anybody? I mean, you know, it's like the, you know, the fox guarding the hen house, really. I mean, not really, but, you know, I would trust the independent companies that have an economic interest in keeping things, you know, secure, keeping the oil or the gas or whatever's flowing through that pipeline. I mean, that to me would be the biggest.
Remember what I said. OT was not designed by, not security by design, by safety first. Safety come first. And they willing to sacrifice security for safety. You look at all the planet blowing up. You go to those pipelines, they make sure that you wear a hard hat. They make sure that you follow, they actually painted the arrow for you to walk at certain area, okay? Because safety comes first, and all the truck has to park reverse because it happens so often, you know? So for them, so but today changing though, because when you integrate the OT, when I say OT, let me make it simple for people to understand. I'm talking about pipeline. Just make it simple. Environment, when you integrate OT into the enterprise, you introduce security. OT has to be think differently now. You have to think security on top of that and safety.
You mentioned what OT stood for earlier. Say
Operation
it again,
technology. Operation technology. Okay. So keep it's like think of this like in the enterprise network you have you're blocking the application. You allow the application to come in. You have email. You have storage. You have application. You have web server. Right. Make it simple. So for the visibility in firewalls, and you have and you can monitor very easy, right? But OT, you're talking about in the old day, they don't use the technology. Remember I said safety comes first. I mean, when it comes to safety, they're number one because they focus on that. And the technology they use 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
All right? And well, some of them are not even up to date.
Well, you know, when you think about the San Francisco incident, that's not really like a clandestine you know, electronic, you know, coming through a router or, you know, an internet source. That's good old fashioned, you know, shoes on the ground. And it's like, there really wasn't some way. I mean, I just, you know, it's hard to believe. It's almost like it was somebody on the inside testing the system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to understand all those utilities are under significant pressure as they make their annual, you know, budget request to, you know, the states that govern them. I mean, they're getting paid or subsidized in large measure. And, you know, they're trying to justify always getting more money. And even I know, you know, there's been a lot of fires associated with PG&E's, the lines that they maintain, right? And you don't always know the entire story. And I know when they had the first big fire, it's probably been, what, 5 or 6 years ago now? I mean, the one that was just jumping freeways, you know, it was huge. And my business partner had been retired several years from PG&E, and you know, PG&E got a real black eye out of that deal, as maybe they should have. I don't know. I'm not involved. But he pointed out to me that the easements that had been where the fires apparently started were a certain width. I can't remember what they were, but he said, we had been telling the state for years that those easements are a safety concern because they're not wide enough to prevent the fast spread of fire. And mm-hmm. PG&E had actually lobbied the legislature to, I don't know, double or triple or huge, much bigger width that they got them to agree to. They got the legislation passed, and then Governor Jerry Brown at that time wouldn't sign it. He vetoed it. And so, you know, you never know what's really going on, and I'm always suspicious of the subsidy that these companies get paid. And I know in Texas, you know, what is it, ERCOT? That's the equivalent, I guess, that our grid is run by. And it looks like there's been some real funny business there over the last several years with the problems we've had. But I tell you, it is worrisome because this is very much a really, I mean, it's not just a Texas issue. It's not just a California Silicon Valley issue. It's a national security risk.
Definitely.
And if we got hit, I mean, probably the only country that I can think of in the world that could do without electricity, at least for a while, would be the bad actors. You know, North Korea, maybe Iran, although right now I think Iran
is
pretty much hobbled.
We so depend on technology and electricity.
Right. Even our systems that track stuff. I mean, I know they've got backups, generators, that kind of thing. But I don't know that that would go all that far.
No.
Yeah. If we had to.
I tell you, a lot of company plan for the worst and hope it would never happen. But you know what? Unfortunately, hope is not a strategy.
No, it's not.
So, but the eye-opening during the Colonial Pipeline, a lot of companies say realize that they're not ready. Can you believe that? They're not ready.
Yeah.
And and it doesn't happen just then, but also fruit process somewhere up north also happened the same year, 2021.
Food or fruit?
Food.
I guess it's the
food,
same, but
food process.
Yeah.
You know, the process, all the food, you know.
Yeah.
Like HEB, okay, there's a big one in Northeast. They will also get hacked. But the one that a lesson to be learned is the Colonial Pipeline, but also the Las Vegas. Do you know what happened?
Yeah.
You saw that video, you know what happened to Las Vegas? Imagine that you were in a hotel. Now, here's the problem. The guy he did not even mention it until today, right? Imagine that you're playing the slot machine and you have your money in there, still in there for like $500-$600, and all of a sudden it disappears.
Yeah, guess what? You're not getting your money.
You're not getting your money, and not just them. Yeah. Everybody in the casino automatically shut down. They were screaming, and they cannot move from the chair that they're playing slot machine because I'm not moving until you pay me, and they all shut down.
Yeah.
On top of that, right? You have the reservation, so you don't have reservation, you don't have any room, and all your key card doesn't work.
Yeah.
Imagine it. And not just Las Vegas.
Disaster.
I mean, how would you cope with it? And it turned out to be human error. Like, all it is until today, I'm in cybersecurity, and I don't understand how give this person an admin right for one single person that can do that damage. It still does not make sense. Maybe they don't tell us everything, right?
Yeah.
But that's come back to the scatter spider. What is a scatter spider?
Hey, before you make that circle, let's take a break.
Yeah.
And we'll come right back, and Mr. AI Wynn will pick up right here.
Okay.
We'll be right back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Grindstones and made up my life, but I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We've been speaking with Mr. A.I. Nguyen, as this is one of our Sunday cyber security shows, and we've been talking about a couple things, or we're on our way to talking about a couple things. We've finished our discussion about the Las Vegas breach, MGM and Caesars. I don't know, it's been probably almost 2 years ago when that happened, when, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, 2022, January 2022.
Is that, well, okay, so a little bit longer than that, 2.5 years. And you were getting ready to do a U-turn back to the scattered spider.
Well, we're talking about the ransomware, right? We're talking about the impact of the cost and also MGM resort attack and the social engineering, the method they use, and Caesar attack. But now I want to talk about the scatter spider. We talked about them before, but I want the user to know who they are. They're basically a young criminal hackers, mostly from US, UK, and Canada, speaking English-speaking country. And they call them a loose-knit web, right? And they're predominantly native English-speaking. And their tactics, okay, that they are social engineering. So what is social engineering? Social engineering is not like they're using technology like software hacking, the firewall. No, they're using tactics like human, based on human enactments, right? Based on how phone call, phishing, that's got text, voicemail, and all kind of stuff, and email. Those kind of techniques that they use to imagine that you got an email from someone that who know your life story. Have you ever got that email? I have, right? Those are social engineering. They're very effective, okay?
Yeah.
And in the cybersecurity like myself, sometimes I have to look at twice. So I warn people, do not click on the link. If you receive the link from anybody, look, question it, okay? Now, especially when you click on the link, there are two kind of link. The kind of link that will execute, right, the moment you click on it. And mostly, if you have a firewall or you have some kind of security, it will block it. But that's the one I'm not worried about. The link that the moment you click on it, it asks you for credential to log in. For example, hey, click on this link. It's a SharePoint. Then use your Microsoft credentials to log in. That's where you get in trouble. That's the most dangerous one.
But you're talking about primarily business users, right? I mean, individuals aren't going to have SharePoint.
No, people,
SharePoint.
Everybody had, no, not just SharePoint, email. Everybody had
Microsoft
Office, Microsoft Outlook, almost everybody. Remember, they don't need to attack the entire United States. They just need 10%. They want to attack the business. That's where the money is, right? So these are a scattered spider, and now they're working with the Russian, right? Now, the Russian, the difference between us and the Russian promote, if you're a hacker, you work for the Russian, they will help you as long as you don't hack the country. So we prosecute hacker. They promote hacker. You see the difference?
Okay. They give hackers a vacation.
Incentive.
To...
Incentive, like they give you all the stuff you need as long as you promise you don't hack the state. But if you can hack the United States, please do, right?
And well, you know, it right now is kind of a critical point to understand. You saw where, I believe it was in that video, they had a statement from co-founder of CrowdStrike.
Yeah.
Wasn't that in that video?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's in there.
And he theorizes that the only reason Putin has not launched, and of course they blame, and I don't know how much of this is true. I mean, we've seen what our government tells us that's not true, but let's just assume it's all true. The co-founder of CrowdStrike, which, where's CrowdStrike? Is that an Israeli group?
No,
man, I've lost track.
No, it's in the U.S.
It is the U.S.,
yeah,
okay.
US.
Well, he theorizes that Putin has not launched a full-scale cyber attack on the U.S. yet because he hopes for a deal to lift sanctions. Well, you know, Trump's talked about making sanctions harder if Putin doesn't show some willingness to be flexible on the Ukraine situation.
So that's called,
situation.
We call that low-tech, high-yield. For example,
yeah,
we also hack them too, and according to
Of course we do. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We're doing everything they say Russia's doing. We've already done it. You can count on it.
So based on
whether it's election rigging or, you know, cyber stuff, anything else. But you know, if that, I mean, you got to understand why, you know, our presidents. Now Biden, you couldn't say this about because he had no clue. But you can understand why even Trump has been fairly restrained, wouldn't you say, when, at least in terms of responding. But I don't know. I'm sure we've got defenses and counter defenses and double counter defenses, et cetera.
So according to the CrowdStrike and according to the government statement, we already did some to them. And it's a warning that we can do the same thing. And that's the only reason to stop them from doing it. But the scary part, it just think about this, cyber attack for me is the same thing a nuclear attack. You think about that. You can damage people. So,
well, our lifestyle, you know, we are the least able to sustain any kind of calamity. I don't care what it is, whether it's water, electricity, the inability to get to the internet connections that we all work with, live with, etc. I mean, we would be out of business, quote unquote, very quick if we didn't have access to computers.
But now, remember the story on the 60 Minute, they mentioned a lot about the Russian capability, the black hat, right? But they also tell us about the Chinese espionage, but not a lot. So, if I don't know if you noticed that you have an account on LinkedIn, but majority of the hackers, they infiltrate the LinkedIn. They even create the business and recruit people. They recruit people from there.
Yeah.
And I tell you, once in a while, I do have people try to contact me through LinkedIn and say, hey, we like what you're doing. We'd like you to know more. And when I look at their profile, they don't have any contact. They don't have any followers. And I even have people speaking. Oh, I got to tell you this. They're speaking my language. Is this girl, right? And she even speak in Vietnamese, but she doesn't know. And they're using AI, and I can pick it up. The voice is AI. In the way they talk, I know right away, but I play along, right? And at the end, I said, nice try. Then I cut her off.
I said, better
off next time. But I knew I was playing along, but they're using voice. They create the voice, and I know, I'm saying, your voice sounds the same voice I created for someone else. And by the way, you hacked the wrong person. Then I said, better luck next time. But there are a lot of them LinkedIn.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. That, I mean, it makes sense, I guess.
No, they recruit people. The North Koreans,
you know,
are doing that.
I mean, when you've worked in some big companies or big organizations, think how many disenchanted employees there are, and then think about the percentage that work in IT in those companies that have access to certain information. And I assume it's kind of like when big CPA firms do audits. Most people think an audit involves a outside CPA firm checking everything mm-hmm. and confirming that everything's been properly recorded, you know, in the company's books and records. And it couldn't be further from the truth. First of all, very little gets checked. They sample. They take a sample of transactions. They run them through the accounting apparatus, the people, the software, et cetera. And they're looking at systems of internal control. Do they have walls between the different accounting personnel and departments to avoid collusion within the accounting department? As an example, the person that gets the bank statement, whether that's electronic or they go to the mailbox and pull it out of a mailbox, is that the same person that is in charge of AP? They're cutting checks.
Well, you just mentioned it's called network segmentation. Same thing.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, similar concept. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you deal with these, but those are big, they create big gaping holes in a sense, because it allows the Ed Snowdens of the world, as an example, and I'm not positive or negative on Snowden. Well, actually, I am positive. I think the guy should have a monument erected, although I've got friends that work in security and the government that, you know, one of my best friends grew up with him, and he says, look, you know, if he hadn't been sneaky or maybe even fraudulent in the way he obtained the password to get to the good stuff, okay? In other words, Snowden was a security contractor, but he didn't have access to the stuff that he eventually brought out to the world about how our government was still doing stuff that they said they weren't, you know, before Congress. And he said it was the method that he, you know, would say he's no fan of Snowden. On the other hand, did he say that what Snowden disclosed was incorrect? No, nobody has, because it's not
but
incorrect.
But I tell you, Snowden uh-huh. is a Russian crown jewel now, because he knows everything about us. Like I said,
well,
safe
he does.
Haven.
I would say that by now, surely, new safeguards have been put in place to where what Snowden knew was probably obsolete 3 days after he
and he's probably under
Hong
surveillance
Kong.
Too. So he's
oh god.
Unless he still as long he continue, he probably worked for them, because imagine this: is he no value? Then they're not going to keep him. He has to work for
that's
them.
That's true.
I'm telling you, he has to work for them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's no way. It's, you know.
Well, when we haven't talked much about China, what give us some input on? I know anytime the FBI says something, I tend to discount it, and I wonder if it's not already worse than what they think it is, or if they're just that far off base, because they, it seems like the FBI under Christopher Wray was always the last to know. They weren't the first to know, except for the shenanigans they were pulling on our own people, right? Mm-hmm. And so how does China fit into the world stage of breach, you know, cyber breaches?
They are broader.
And
they are more comprehensive threat to ideas,
are
innovation,
they?
And economic security. They are more than
that. Than the Russians?
Than the Russians. They're stealing IP. I mean, they more silently. You know, the Chinese.
And by the way, speaking of mm-hmm. Russia, Ukraine used to be the big cyber threat. Are we still getting, even though we're spending billions of dollars trying to, you know, help them against Putin,
they still hacking.
Are we
us.
Still getting targeted by the
we
Ukrainians?
They are the number one hackers. I mean, and I even tell you where they are too. Kyiv, they're over there.
Well, I know this. They've done some masterful work against the Russians in terms of the war hardware and the war apparatus. I mean, the drones and all that stuff.
They steal money from us. They hack. They steal money from us too. So they're the same.
Huh.
Okay. In fact, before the Ukraine war, they hacked more most people than the Russians. They are savvy hackers. Okay. But the Chinese, let's back to the Chinese are more silent, you know. They take advantage of the whole thing, you know. the United States and Russia are fighting, and they just sit, they benefit in the middle, right? They're not going to start anything that disrupts the United States. They know too well. And so the method that they use is kind of different from the Russian. They kind of manipulate employees. They collect data. The more, the, you know, like how, you know, the one thing about the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence, they're so great, is they're collecting the data. So Chinese are learning from it, collecting data, huge data. Think about AI. So one day they might, they infiltrate our cultures, our technology. They're stealing all the technology from us. If you want to know, that somebody told me that, if you want to know where the Chinese Silicon Valley is, where do you think it is? Where the Chinese Silicon Valley?
You know, I don't know the cities well enough. I mean, I know Shanghai, I know Beijing.
Silicon Valley. Valley, a patent office. Patent office. Silicon Valley.
In China, you mean?
No, here.
Or you mean in the U.S.?
In the U.S.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, it's that area from, what, San Francisco down.
They have spying,
you know,
everywhere.
San
they
Jose.
They have so many in terms of reach, they're everywhere.
And right. We're so stupid the way we make it easy. I mean, we want the Chinese, the intelligence, you know, the smartness that they do, and yet we also don't monitor their activities well enough once they're over here, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We probably do, but in terms of reach.
Yeah, well, that's true.
There's so many of
that's
them.
That's true.
I mean, it's kind of, that's why you cannot stop them all. Okay, but that's called a thing called low tech, high yield. It's called it's a policy, a mutual destruction policy. So
yeah.
Remember, we're talking about the Russian. They can shut us down anytime, right? But at the same time, we said, hey, we can do the same to you, just like nuclear war, right? You can take us out with your new nuclear weapons, so can we. So as long as nobody have a first strike capability.
Mutual deterrence.
Mutual deterrence, right? But the scare is that if they can, you think about this. 20 years ago, we don't have drone. Today, they can have drone. They can drop exposure. Maybe I should not say that. I don't want to give them ideas. But but things change. So anyway, let's talk about the corporate misconceptions, right? Every place that I go, like the large company, when you ask them, you know, hey, we have firewalls. We have good stuff. We have firewall that can stop unauthorized network access. We have malware exploit. We can stop denial of service, we can stop application, and we can even stop the remote access. But do you know that one few things that firewall cannot stop?
What's that?
Insider threats. People.
Oh, well.
Unauthorized
yeah,
user,
true.
Right? The two kind of insider threats, the unintentional, like people forgot things, leave the password on the screen. But there's other people intentionally,
post-it
like hacker, scatter spider, okay? IT folks, incentive to make money, right? And then you got the phishing social engineering, firewall cannot stop that. And then you have a zero-day virus. You know what zero-day virus is? It basically, the vulnerability that cannot be exploited before the patches or rule or update. So when I say zero-day exploit, it's actually state-sponsored virus. That means the government developed this because they're very expensive to make, and hackers don't have time to do this because it costs money. So state-sponsored the one that's doing it. And then supply chains attack. Okay, that if I attack you, then you connected to other company, it affect them. Imagine this: if your Outlook is compromised, if you click on the virus that I sent to you, and it take over your Outlook, and it's sent to all your contacts inside your Outlook, and then your contact on the other end click on the virus, and send to other people, it's a chain reaction. Firewall cannot stop that. And number one, the misconfigurations. You can have the top firewall in the world, but if you don't know how to configure it, or you don't up to date with that, it doesn't matter. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
speaking of threats, you know, the latest flavor, I guess, of a large scale or large language model AI, China's DeepSeek. I haven't installed that. I think you said you had. Do you not fear, you know, like back doors or other techniques of them getting into your,
you know, so
system? Or do you just feel like, hey, I'm a small little, you know, person, what would they gain if they had access to,
well,
all my,
I always tell people, okay, either you run from it or learn from it. I decide to learn. I'm going to play with them. I'm going to learn from it and see how they do it. But I tell you, the level of DeepSeek are doing is incredible. It's thinking on the fly. It has a human thinking.
Self-perpetuating kind of.
I'm talking about
like.
It give you an answer, then it changes mind. Say, wait a minute. Aha. It's an aha movement, like human. Aha. Wait a minute. I have a better answer. And I play a lot of stuff. I play a lot with large language model, like OpenAI, and sometimes they're not accurate. Okay? They're not accurate. And you got to be careful. Don't trust too much on it. I think AI is great, but it still requires human creation and intelligence. It still requires. It cannot take over.
If you had to rank an AI result from any of the AI products in terms of accuracy, is it above or about the same as like a Google or a Bing search?
Now,
where does it line
well,
up?
Well, AI,
more accurate or less?
AI is a conversation tool, right? And another version of AI that I think was same owner, OpenAI, is called Perplexity.
Perplexity, yeah. Perplexity.
That's the search engine. That's, and I think that's very accurate.
Right.
Because it based
that
on,
looks like a mixed.
Yeah,
a combination of AI,
right? Right. But
Google.
It's very good. I tested it.
Yeah,
it's
I
very
agree.
It's very accurate. More, I use that more than I use OpenAI. So let me tell you the difference between DeepSeek and OpenAI. OpenAI, if you go to the prompt and you said, you know what, show me how to hack this company, and you know what the first thing it does? Sorry, based on our compliance policy, we don't do this. It's unethical. Blah 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 blah. Right. I take the same prompt, I put over DeepSeek. No problem. This is how you do it. As long now here's the thing, then the moment you can change this, okay? You go to DeepSeek, I said, I want you to show me the step how to hack China application firewall. It will block you immediately.
Oh man.
Okay? Obviously.
Yeah.
Because as long as is not involved, you're not hacking China with their own application, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, they will block you. But other than that, it's free. They can do whatever they want with you. So what take away from this whole thing is, you know, you have to be vigilant, okay? Keep your eyes on everything. Skeptical. It's okay. Question everything. Oh. Is there never a better day?
Well, you know, the combination, I mean, it's I guess what I am trying to express is it's too bad there's not like one or two authoritative either countries or agencies that, you know, like, for instance, the Mossad. Who's the Mossad of the AI defense space, right? Because, man, those guys, it seems like, just don't lose.
They have information. They collect data, you know. They have more data. You think about
the patient
and the way that...
And they embed themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the things. I mean, it would seem to me... That would be a way. Of course, the problem is once you're outed or once you out yourself, then, you know, you got to kind of start over. But I tell you what, this is just dangerous, dangerous stuff. And it's not how many more people you can put on the ground. Look how many people we put on the ground with the Iranian situation. Zero.
Yeah.
As far as I know or as far as I've read. Right.
Did you see the latest thing that the Mossad did to penetrate Iran? How they find out about all the general, where they are? And
I'm not sure. So, I've read something in that regard, but tell me what you're...
So what happened is the general, the Iranian...
They called them all together,
well,
didn't they? For
Not just that. So after they eliminate those leaders and then Iranian promote another leader, right? And they kill them again. This time, the Iran said, "You know what? We're not going to tell you
who
in charge." Iran said, "We're not going to tell you who's in charge." But how they find out anyway? You know how they do it? They're using social engineering. They send email or some kind of stuff like intelligence to all the officer, all the soldier. Say, listen, you guys don't want to be. We have nothing against you. Okay, you want to be a free world. Okay, we want Iran to be free world. We have nothing against you, just the leaders. And those soldiers turn around and give the Israeli information who the next leader is. That's how they find out. Just give you one example of how they do things. How do they penetrate?
They want to make sure.
Yeah.
They want to make sure their name's not shown as a
leader,
right?
They are playing psychological warfare in Iran right now.
Yeah.
But using those soldiers, sending them information, say, we're not against you. We're not against your people. We have nothing against Iranian people. It's just your leader. You want to change? Yeah. Help us change. So a lot of soldiers, they're fed up with the government, too. I'm talking about Iranian. So they turned around and gave the Israeli. You got the human on the floor.
Yeah, we just got a couple minutes left, but since we're on the Iranian scenario, I haven't read much in the last few days, but have we really been able to get a critical assessment of the damage that we did to the – I mean, did they get a lot of the enriched uranium out? Was that the reason for the Chinese flights that came in there towards the end and got out before we
I think one of those things that we say we're not going to bomb you, because you think about this, Nate, if they bomb those things leaked out, you kill a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
So they rather tell them you need to move the stuff out. We're going to bomb your infrastructure, so it's going to take you years.
We probably gave them a wink and a nod.
Yeah,
right?
I mean that's part of the plan. You think about it.
If,
you know how dangerous it is if we blow that thing up. You kill a million people.
True.
And not just
across
them,
the
across the Middle East, and it fly
and
all over Europe.
And up in the atmosphere, it may even come on
thing.
Over to us.
We
know?
Gave them the objective here to destroy the infrastructure, not the thing. Cause they can always buy the enriched uranium, right, if they have the money.
Yeah.
But we just want to destroy the infrastructure. But then these are these politics beyond us. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're at the end of the show. We will be back this coming Friday at 11 a.m. right here on 700 a.m. KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Ooh.